I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
I was tempted to turn the microphones on about 10, 15 seconds ago because the argument's already started in studio between Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. Back together again.
Dave is back.
We're here.
To argue about everything. We got a lot to argue about tonight. Touche, our regular segment on Monday nights.
Justin, I just want to tell you how blessed I am to be here. How much I thank you for the privilege of the blessings of being with you here and for you giving a forum to Chris and I to share in these blessings. I thank you for
Chris, would you like to bless it?
I want
to
say, Dave, apart from Marge Halperin, you're really the best Democrat ever to go on with. And I really appreciate the fact that you take all of my statements. And Justin, I just can't say enough about
all right. Vindicate. Why don't we have not had a chance to talk.
Should we tell people what that was about?
Yeah,
and by the way, I'm running the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
This was the cabinet meeting that happened today that everyone was a little bit.
Sounds kind of goofy.
Goofy, because they spent most of the time just.
Banana Republican to me. You know,
giving Trump accolades. All right, let's go. Let's start with Comey and then we'll move on from that quick. But vindicated or open up a can of worms for future investigations?
I think that Comey achieved his objectives, but I don't think I think he's a truthful guy, largely, generally speaking. And I don't really think he laid a hand on Trump.
And thank you for changing your tune, because you had previously said you thought he was vindicated, like Donald Trump said you thought that Trump was vindicated.
Well, Trump was vindicated.
Thank you, because I needed that setup to point out that only in this administration can somebody who's being called a liar multiple times by the former FBI director.
No. And by the guy he fired. Such big news. The firee says the firer.
Wait!
Is
a moment ago, you just said. I don't believe. I believe Comey tells the truth.
It's utterly
the truthful Comey said Trump is a liar. And you consider that vindication, and Trump considers that vindication.
Generally speaking.
And oh, by the way, even as he was in his press conference on Friday, or his short mini press conference on Friday, even then when he said, "Oh, I never said that about Flynn." He was contradicted the next day by his son, who went on Fox and said, well, my dad, if he really wanted him gone, he would have said, or he wanted the investigation over, he would have said that. All he asked, all he told Comey was, you know, I hope you could find, and it's like, yes,
Chris,
that's
exactly
what
Comey
said.
Do you buy the Republican leadership and outside of Trump talking about, oh, Trump just doesn't know any better. He doesn't know politics.
No, I don't. Look, I think that Trump... The fact that he doesn't know any better is no defense, and that's nothing to be raised at this moment. However, we're inside the conundrum, and the bigger and more important point is, if under our Constitution, he has the authority, as he does, to direct Comey to end the investigation, okay, if not for a corrupt purpose, then it includes the lesser, and the lesser here is, hey, Flynn is a good guy. He gave a lot of service to the country, and I hope you can see your way to getting him out of this thing.
Dave?
I think that we're in a situation where Comey gave some very damning testimony about the president. The Republicans are freaking out about it, which is why suddenly you're seeing the call for firing Bob Mueller.
No. The Mueller thing doesn't have anything to do with Comey testimony. It has to do with him bringing on assistants who have been cited for withholding evidence from defendants when they were prosecutors, or in the case of Dreeben, the other guy. He is a guy who went to the United States Supreme Court and argued an interpretation of obstruction of justice.
Well, why not do that?
That was the hear me out.
What anybody
He broadened the definition of obstruction of justice so that a car driving down the street is obstructing justice. He kind of applied a butterfly.
But my point is, why not argue that point as opposed to have the rumors that they want to remove Mueller
If Mueller, well, then this all is the poison tree from which this fruit grows is the personal long time career long relationship and associateship between Mueller and Comey. And with Comey's statements in front of Congress, he became a possible target of this investigation. So you cannot have Mueller investigating a potential target.
You're just making stuff up.
No.
You're just making stuff up. Comey is not a potential target. How is he a potential target?
If his leaking was illegal, then he might become a target.
Illegal, and there's nobody.
Well, who are you? What judge?
There is nobody
Last night,
you and I were on Beyond the Beltway with a former federal prosecutor who said to you, "There's no way that what he did was illegal."
That was his opinion. There are a lot of other opinions, and the opinions that matter are those of judges.
You are
of competent
creatively trying to get rid of the guy who has the
potentially could get Donald Trump into real serious jeopardy. I'm telling the listeners of this August radio station. And Justin, I don't know if we've told you how good you really
are.
It's a blessing.
I feel blessed to be here. In fact, I might make a visit on my way out. Anyway, I do want to say that Mueller's too close to Comey, and Comey manipulated official records to bring about the appointment of Mueller. And this makes Mueller part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Do you feel like he manipulated to get a special prosecutor?
Well, he didn't manipulate official records. Again, Chris is making
when he
things
is
up.
The FBI director and he's keeping records, those are official records.
Excuse me, that is not a manipulation. Contemporaneous recollection and contemporaneous notes was because he felt that Donald Trump was highly likely, given his history, to lie about their interaction. Wow, where would he come up with that idea?
Well, the fact is,
that is not a manipulation.
The manipulation was giving it to his law professor friend for the purpose of, quote, putting it into the public square.
Right. Whistleblower. Right. Nothing right. illegal.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, they're trying to eat each other's space. I love it.
Yes, right, but we're doing it while being blessed.
Yes, blessed. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll argue this point. Is Donald Trump the most productive president of all time in his first 100 days? Chris says ding, 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 and Dave says we heard that. So of course, and your mic was on for that. And we will continue the conversation here on Touche on the download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right.
All right, it's Touche here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman.
You got to get those guys on a segment sometime when they're coming through town.
Stiller and
Blunt. In their inevitable rematching, you know.
Maybe they would join us for a political
rematch. I think they'd help.
But they'd love it.
They'd probably think I'm a total idiot and Dave's great.
No way. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy. Why don't
you're
we start
right,
with you, Chris?
Smart men.
Let me start with you on this one.
Go ahead. The
president today in his cabinet meeting where everyone praised him talked about he being the most productive president, maybe outside of FDR, although he couched that by saying, well, it was a different time. But he said he's the most productive president first 100 days. Do you agree?
Well, he is more productive on the judicial side and on the executive order side. And I think that he is not necessarily close on the legislative side. And the reason I say that is A,
he hasn't passed anything.
Roosevelt and B, Reagan. So what he has passed has been minor or really kind of just tentative baby steps. Whereas, you know, Reagan by this time had passed all of his budget reconciliation. That was passed on, I believe, the 13th of May, 1981. Mm. So we're on the 13th of June almost. So he's not at Reagan's pace.
Well, there's a lot of breakdowns today about the numbers, and you can swing it. It seems very political speak, once again, out of Washington, where if you look at one set of numbers, that could be true. If you look at another, that could be false. Where are we in reality and how America views or what the taxpayers view what Donald Trump has accomplished in his first 100 days?
Well, I think that there are a number of ways to slice this. One, has he passed his major legislation? And the answer is no. He got the American Health Care Act through the House on its second try. It now has an approval rating, I think, around 15%. It's now before the
higher
Senate.
Higher than Obamacare.
No, actually, Obamacare is about 55.
No, I mean when Obamacare was running.
Yes. Anyway, So now they're trying to ramrod it through the Senate, and they've said we're not going to let you see the bill until it's final and until it's been fully scored, et cetera, because they don't want anybody to look at what's in this bill. They don't want anybody to have time to analyze it. But I think there's another way to look at it, which is, you know, he fired all those U.S. attorneys, hasn't appointed a single one to replace them. He fired all those ambassadors. He's appointed very few. Much of the government is unstaffed. He has out of 560 Senate confirmable positions, he has filled 20% of them. Hmm. And we're now 5 months into the administration.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've called on, you know, I think that Reince Priebus is in way over his head. He's doing a terrible job. We see that every day. That's not to say that Trump doesn't himself bear an enormous responsibility for the problems he's created for himself. But Reince Priebus has failed to get the personnel operation under control. And that is a betrayal of all of Trump's voters. And it is just unconscionable right now that the PAS, that's presidential appointee, Senate confirmed positions, are not all at least pending at the Senate. They should all be pending at the Senate. Many of them should already be.
Is that traditionally, when you say it comes from the chief of staff, I mean, is that traditionally the job of a chief of staff or a White House?
Yeah, I mean, the chief of staff is, I mean, certainly it all starts with the president, but the chief of staff has got to kick people in the rear end to keep things moving. And it's way too late for us to say there were folks on the Trump team who were surprised that Trump won. I mean, we're 7 months into this thing. Where is the government? Where are the ambassadors? He is moving along on judicial appointments pretty well. That's because he established a mechanism with Leonard Leo and McCann and the Justice Department.
Let me, in a positive way for Donald Trump, I mean, he got a Supreme Court nominee through.
Yeah, executing the nuclear option and destroying tradition of the United States Senate of 200 years.
Led by the Democrats.
You mentioned the health care. He did get it through the House, and it looks like, you know, he's got a chance to get it through the Senate. He did put a travel ban
that would put 23 million people off health care.
He did put a travel ban in place.
And by the way, that wasn't 200 years. That was you're absolutely wrong about that. 200 years of
sorry. He only busted 100 years of tradition.
There's not a lot, even suggesting tax reform.
Right.
I mean, there is. There you can say that the president
has started.
No.
Getting he may not get him done, but he's getting.
You can't get tax reform because all he did is put out a one pager. Yeah. There's no legislation.
So he started a lot of stuff, but he hasn't finished.
There's no do you know what last week was? Last week was Infrastructure Week. How many events actually happened in support of Infrastructure Week? I don't know what the infrastructure bill looks like. He should have done that 2 months ago.
Easy.
Challenge the Democrats.
Absolutely. And look, Paul, I like to beat up on Paul Ryan because I am convinced that Paul Ryan is derelict in his duty. And Paul Ryan woke up the day after this election in November and said, I did not like Trump, but he carried my district, my first congressional district of Wisconsin, and he carried my state of Wisconsin. And that hasn't happened with the Republican in many elections. Mm-hmm. And where was he in terms of saying, now it's on me as Speaker of the House to get this program. I'm going to get all of the committee chairmen on a conference call at 10 o'clock this morning and tell them we are going to be ready. It's time for Republican reform. I am furious about this.
Well, I mean, I guess, Dave, I ask you as the Democrat on this panel, I mean, for all the things that he started, is it unreasonable for us to think that all those things would be finished?
It's not that all those things would be finished, but you need to show more progress. And you've shown so little progress on any of the major fronts other than healthcare. And the progress that they have shown is just epically, historically bad. I mean, it's astonishing that they're championing a bill that would likely throw, according to the Congressional Budget Office, somewhere between 23 and I think it was 23 million people out of healthcare. And by the way, you know, they talk about how, oh, it's going to save $100 billion in the deficit over 10 years. Yeah, but in your first 5 years, premiums are going to go up. That's what CBO
said. And we don't know. We don't know if
CBO has been wrong about everything. It's not a terrible
bill.
No, it has not been wrong. We can have another conversation about that.
It has not been wrong about everything.
I want to say this. No matter what he had done, David would say it was bad.
He's given me so much to work with.
Well, yeah. Okay, but I want to say,
touché.
These guys, what you've got here are congressional Republicans failing to promote their own majority. And here is what I mean. The reason the Democrats have spun this whole cloth idea about Russia and Russian collusion, et cetera, and now they're on. Trump's involvement with Russia held no water ever. So then they switched to collusion, which now holds no water. And now they're talking about the ex post facto. But the point of all that is two things. A, delay the Trump program, and then B, take the House, and then C, impeach Trump once they take the House.
And the only problem I have with this is that you're suggesting that the media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, are arms of a Democratic
Party. I'm not
party.
Suggesting, I'm stating it.
But the, actually, I don't think that's the case.
I believe that the Democratic Party is an arm of the New York Times and the media.
My point being that the media is the one looking in. I feel like, if anything, the Democrats have been pretty meek and not been strong on pointing to the problem with Russia. So
I think you're alone in that view. Democrats have been on every TV show, on every radio show. They've been screaming to high heaven. I've been sitting next to David as he has screamed to high heaven.
But
it is the only thing they've got, since they cannot deal with the fact that
actually,
Hillary lost.
I'd love to talk about the policy, because the policy is so god-awful. Let's talk about health care. Let's expose health care. Let's expose the fact that last Thursday, on the day that Comey was testifying, Republicans in the House took the opportunity to repeal Dodd-Frank.
If only they had repealed Dodd-Frank. They didn't go far enough in repealing
Okay, they
Dodd-Frank.
Repealed much of Dodd-Frank.
And you
under
know what?
Cover of Comey.
And you, who was supposed supposedly cares about, you know, neighborhoods and small towns, under Dodd-Frank, the community banking sector of the United States has gone from threatened to extinction. Okay, it is on the Endangered Species Act at the EPA, and that's because of Dodd-Frank's very
we just mixed like 27 different things.
And I
endangered
and you
species
know what?
Is not EPA.
Yeah, EPA has a lot to do with endangered species, let me tell you. I live that. But be that as it may,
it's Department of the Interior.
We need commercial banks operating at a community level. They've been wiped out by Dodd-Frank.
Now, no doubt that you'll listen
to them. And Democrats
the...
don't care, because they get so much money from wealthy Wall Street people.
Oh, thank you. I feel so much better now. Rather get money from wealthy Wall Street people than Russian oligarchs. In any event, look, I'm talking about the Russia stuff. I'm talking about the Russia stuff because the president has been in denial about the Russian interference in the election and has repeatedly tweeted that the whole thing is a hoax.
Yeah.
So, and it would
so
be helpful.
Right.
It would be helpful if, and you guys just keep giving us this stuff, because every time an issue comes up about the Trump relationships with Russia and the Trump associate relationship with Russia, Trump's people lie and then get caught.
That's going to have to be the last word. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, back at it with Touche. They'll be back next Monday. Guys, thanks for being here.
See you.